We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
I want to read some verses to you this morning from the 7th Psalm. I want you to listen closely because I have something that I think is important to say to us, to stimulate our thinking. Now let's notice these words. O Lord, my God, in Thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces, while there is none to deliver. Now notice closely. O Lord, my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth, and lay mine honor in the dust. I read through the 5th verse of this 7th Psalm. Now David is called a man after God's own heart. David was anointed to be king over Israel. If you study the reign of David in his official role, it was a wonderful official role he played. I used to know a judge down in Alabama who in his personal life wasn't what he ought to be. He had certain faults and certain sins. But it was a strange thing about that man. When he moved into the role of judge and sat down on the bench, he was the most judicial man you nearly ever knew in your life. He had a strange sense of official responsibility. Now, David seemed to be a man of very strange sense of his official obligations. He felt that he was reigning for the Lord, fulfilling the plan of God for his life. And as he reigned, he seemed to always be able to defend his own integrity. See? The Bible says a man after God's own heart. Now, David fell one time, and by the way, if you read the Word of God, you'll find that David is approved in his life, excepting that one sin he committed with Uriah's wife. You remember that? That was a strange, peculiar lapse in the life of a good man. And it's a warning to all men that you better take heed lest you fall. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if you'd put all the lives of men under microscopic scrutiny in days gone by, the best men have ever lived, that most of them had some shadows over their lives. Most of them. Most of us today. If your wife knew you like God knew you, your husband knew you like God knows you, or your children knew you like God knows you, and your neighbors knew you like God knows you, I wouldn't be surprised if in the lives of most of us, there are not some things that look awfully bad. They look bad to us, and they look worse to God. So in evaluating a man like David, we want to keep certain things in mind. We want to remember David's background, and he ought to name the day in which he lived. But keep in mind that here was a man who was called a man after God's own heart. No man could be fundamentally a bad man that could write the 23rd Psalm. David was a poetic type man. He was a man true to trust when he went out to meet Goliath as a boy. He met an emergency successfully. He seemed to know how to meet the emergencies of life. And I want to tell you something, that's one of the most essential things in this world. What to do in an emergency. When an emergency comes, how do you meet it? Now, in all the emergencies of life, you'll find that David turned to God. He didn't look for human help, he looked to God for help. Always turn to God. Read the psalm. Read the story of David. When the hour of tragedy came, he looked up to the sky. He had a God consciousness, in spite of the fact that in his life there was one dark picture that it's too bad it's there. Somebody said that kind of picture is put there that nobody need despair. And yet it was a matter of warning to everybody in the world that would live right. But now David here is facing an issue. The enemies are around him, troubles on him, sorrows come, the battle's raging. It's a very bad day for him. And David cries out here, now notice, let mine enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay my honor in dust, if he is guilty. Okay. He didn't say if I'm guilty of an individual sin, but if I have met my responsibilities, I should have met them. If I haven't done what I should have done, if I've betrayed my trust. as king and ruler, and if I failed here in this matter, let my enemy conquer me. How he's crying out to God. Remember, he starts there, God, O Lord, my God, in thee do I put my trust. He's looking heavenward. And he's asking God in the solemn moment of his prayer to let his enemies persecute him and take him and destroy him, even his soul. If he had not walked in his integrity, if as a ruler he'd failed God. I'm talking to some people today who have official position. A betrayal of an official trust is the most awful thing in the world. A man that'll use a position of trust for himself rather than a position of trust to carry out his obligation to the organization or the church or the business, whatever he's connected with. Use it to reward himself rather than to reward the organization. He's an awfully crooked man. We tell our preacher boys over here, don't worry about yourself. Be interested in the program. You're committed to a program. Be interested in the program. Tie yourself up to the program. And if the program goes over, you go over. The man who's always thinking of himself never puts his program over. And he himself never goes over. He may seem to, but he'll usually go down sooner or later. I remember one time a girl came to our office out here. And she's a very fine girl, and we didn't want to lose her from our school. And she'll finish up a year here. And she came in to see me and said, Dr. Bob, I want to talk to you. She said, I can go to school near home next year, and I can take a certain course there that the Bob Jones University doesn't offer that I think I'm going to need. And I want you to advise me what to do about it. Well, there she was. I want the girl to stay in school. Now, she's going to put herself in my hands, and whatever I said do, she's going to do. That's an awful spot to be put on. We had a small school in those days. And I was on the spot, and I had to state the case again. I said, all right, now then, your mother and father are Christians, yes. You have a good, sound, Orthodox, evangelical church, then, yes. And this course is over there, and you're going to do so-and-so, yes. And you want me to advise you what to do? She said, yes. Well, I said, honey, we hate to lose you, but I advise you to stay at home with your mother and take that course. I knew what she's going to do. See? I advise you to do that. See? Now, you know, it's never easy in an official responsibility to get out of your own selfish interests, see? It's never easy. And there are very few people that can do it. It takes a lot of grace to do it. But David, in his role here as king, in his official responsibilities, was faithful to his trust. You know, I can't think of anything worse than to betray your trust, to be entrusted with a responsibility, and then betray that trust. It's almost unthinkable what men can do. And yet they do that in high office. They feather their nests sometimes, we say. And then they always think about, I asked about somebody not long ago. I said, what kind of job is my preacher friend? What kind of church does he have? Oh, he said, it's a wonderful church. And he gets a big salary and told him what he paid. And I thought about the situation. And I said, well, he had a good church, didn't he? He said, oh, yes, but said he got this church over here, see. Of course, it paid him more money, see. You know, we are prone to think of life in the terms of self. That's the inclination of all of us, because man is naturally a selfish creature. They say self-preservation is the first law of nature. Well, in a sense, that's so, but you know, man belongs to a fallen race, and nature's not right. That's not the first law of Christianity. The first law of Christianity is not save yourself. That's not the first law. The first law of Christianity is crucify yourself. That's the fundamental law. You don't save yourself. Jesus said you save your life by losing your life. You kill yourself, put yourself on a cross, see? Well, we brought over in even the Christian program all of that selfish proposition. And we think of things in terms of self. We talk about tithing. We say, now you know it'll pay you to tithe. When I wasn't tithing, I was up against it, and I went to tithing. And ever since I've been tithing, I've been prospering. Well, you mean to tell me you give God some money just so God will pay you out and be a good partner with you? That's self. That's not Christianity. If it's right to tithe, you ought to tithe whether it pays or not. Man ought to do right because it's right to do right, even though it doesn't pay him in the eyes of men, even though it means suffering, even though it means sacrifice. Now David here looks up to God and says, "Now, Lord, I trust you. My enemies are around you. The battle's hot. It's a terrible day, and it was a terrible day with David, because it was a terrible time of fighting, and his son had betrayed him, and all those things around him." He looks up and said, "Now, Lord, I've called on you. I'm trusting you. I'm looking to you." Now, I said, "I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm so conscious of my integrity. I'll ask this of you. You know my heart." You know, that gives you boldness. When a man's heart's right, see. He said, "Now, Lord, tell you what you do. If I'm not right, if my integrity is not unimpeachable, if I'm not true, I'll tell you what you do. I'll just ask you to let him win." See? You can't resist a man like this. That man's invincible. I used to tell it so often in school, and I quit telling it because it got to be such an old story about self-defense, about that ancient warrior that was leading an army to battle, and somebody went up and accused him of something. Something that wasn't true, something that was so terrible. And this man just had in his pocket the papers that would clear him of the accusation. He just took those papers out of his pocket and tore them into shreds and said, "Forward, march," and led the army to battle and won the battle. God never lets men down like that. The most courageous man in the world is a man that's conscious of his own integrity. He's not afraid of anything. He doesn't appease, he doesn't trim, he doesn't dodge, he doesn't cut corners. Thank God for the men like David that could, in the midst of battle, look up and tell God, "I'm conscious of my integrity, and if the battle's on, and if men are dying around here, God, then if I'm not right, let them get me. If I've been a false ruler, if I've been an unfair, unreasonable king, let them take my life." That's the highest possible heights on which the feet of God's man can stand. You can go no higher than that. You know, so many people are haunted by the sins that they've never confessed and the things they've never done. And consciences, Shakespeare said, makes cowards of all of us. Blessed is a man. Blessed is a man whose sins are covered, whose iniquities are blotted out, who can look into the face of a holy God and say, "Here I am, God. You know me. Here I am. I'm yours. You're not afraid of anything. You're not afraid of the foe. You're not afraid of conditions." God gives to all of even his timid children holy boldness if they are right in his sight and they know they're right. Our Father, we pray thee this morning to search the hearts of all who listen to this message. Search the heart of the speaker that's brought the message. Help us to ask ourselves today, is there anything between me and God? If there is anything, help us to get rid of it. Help us to be able to look up into the face of God and say, "God, witness to my heart. Thou knowest my integrity. I'm on your side, and I'm ready to march under your flag, wherever that flag may lead." Help us to be faithful to thee. Keep each one of us his own place, in all of his relationship and his responsibilities, true to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his ever precious and wonderful name. Amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.